of the guys in yeshiva challenged me. I mentioned in passing in shir that one of the ways that we know that the Seder night is a very special night is because the Vilna Gaon says that there's 64 mitzvos that can be performed on that night. 64 mitzvos. Sounds like a lot in a short span of time. So they said, no, start naming the 64. So I thought I'd practice them on you first, okay? It's going to sound a little funny. I'm going to go through them very quickly, but then there's a point that we have to bring out. But you'll be shocked. Kiddush on wine, Bari Priya Gafen, Kiddush Hayom, Yitzias Mitzrayim and Kiddush, Brachav Shechiyonu, drinking the first cup, leaning for the first cup, washing your hands for Karpas, Brachav Netilas Adayim, for those who do it, Bari Priya Adama, eating Karpas, dipping in salt water, Bracha Chrona, again, that's not the way we paskin, putting the shank bone, the zera for the Korban Pesach, an egg for the Korban Chagiga, Yachatz, breaking the middle matzah, Manishtana, saying the story, the Maggid itself, beginning Maskel Begnosu Messiah Beshrach, there's a detail about how the story has to be told, starting at the low point of history and ending at the top, saying the Haggadah over matzah specifically, right? There would be a mitzvah even if there's no matzah, but it's an additional fulfillment when Lechem She'onim Olov Dvarim Harbe, that it's said in the presence of the matzah, that's why we uncover the matzah at a certain point during the Seder. The three things that Rami Gamliel mentions, which I guess if you count those as three different, right? So then makes up for the other two that we don't pass in like. Okay? Seeing yourself as if you left Mitzrayim, hold over the door like we spoke about last night. Thank Hashem for taking us out. The bracha of Asher Galano, the bracha on the second cup, the drinking of the second cup, leaning for the second cup, washing hands for matzah, bracha for washing your hands, bracha of Amotzi, bracha of Achilas matzah, lecha mishnah, eating the first kezayis of matzah, eating the second kezayis of matzah, leaning while eating the matzah, eating the meal, bracha on the maror. Some people say you should lean while you eat the rest of the meal. Okay, leading while you eat the matzah, eating the meal, bracha on the maror, eating the maror, charosis for zecher yitzias Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim itself for the hard work, dipping the maror in charosis, korech, leaning for korech, eating the first kezayis of apikomen, eating the second kezayis of apikomen, leaning for apikomen, mayim achronim, okay, kos for benching, the mezumen for the benching, first bracha, bracha mazon, second bracha, bracha mazon, third bracha, fourth bracha on the third cup, drinking the third cup, leaning for the third cup, halel, zimun by the halel. If you say it responsibly, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you're supposed to try to have a minimum of three people, women count for that, okay, to answer responsibly, hodul Hashem kitov kli olam chasto, as we do in shul when we recite halel as part of davening. Bracha after halel, okay, the other bracha before halel comes as part of magid. A bracha on the fourth cup, drinking for the fourth cup, leaning in the fourth cup, ala gefen, the bracha achron for the fourth cup, and number 64, simcha on the Seder night. That's a lot of mitzvahs. That's a lot of mitzvahs. Why do we have to have 64 mitzvahs? If you compare it to the other Yom Tovim, okay, you eat in the sukkah, you make kiddush, you have some of these, but you don't have nearly as many as what we just described. So it reminded me of a story. It's 1946. It was the first Yom Kippur, or maybe the second, after the conclusion of World War II. DP camp in Europe, and it was the DP camp where the Klozimer Gareba happened to be, and they got word a few days in advance that Eisenhower was going to come and meet with the people who were in the DP camp and take a look and hear their stories and so forth. So the people in the camp got together and they had to decide who's going to represent them, who's going to speak, who's going to be the face of the Jewish survivors, and obviously the religious community wanted the Klozimer Gareba to be the representative. He was the father of all the people in the camp. He himself lost his wife and 11 children and was able to give so much chizik to the people following the war. But those who were not religious, those who were not so such big fans of the Rebbe, they said, oh, this old man, that's the Yiddishkeit that we're embarrassed about. We put that behind. We don't want him to speak. So this is going back and forth. Obviously, the firm people were insistent that the Rebbe speak. So the non-religious made three conditions. They said he has to speak, but he can't mention Hashem's name. Number two is we have to speak also. And it has to be short. Because, other people want to have their turn as well. I believe those are the three conditions. I hope I'm not forgetting them. So the day came. It was Yom Kippur. And Eisenhower was sitting on a big platform, sitting at a table, and invited the Rebbe to come up. So first thing he did is he took a talis and made the bracha on the talis so that he could say Hashem's name. And then he said, okay, Rabbi, what is your message? So first he said, thank you, President Eisenhower. Thank you, General Eisenhower, for the saving, the remnant of the Jewish people. We owe our lives. We owe the existence of European Jewry, what's left of it, to you. And we'll never forget that debt of gratitude. He said, number two, he turned to the crowd. And he said, we are still the chosen people. And it means that we have a mission and that we are the survivors because we have a purpose to carry on the Mesorah. It doesn't matter who, Choldor Vador, no matter how much the Nazis struck us down, we're here for a reason to survive, to be able to keep going so that we can persevere under all duress and all circumstances, no matter what, to be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim. The people broke down in tears. the non-religious group said that's it. You know, they couldn't even bring themselves to talk after he spoke. Obviously, I'm just giving a condensed version. But he was able to touch the people in a way. There were some there who said that they cried in a way. They hadn't cried for all those years during the war. They weren't even able to express any emotion. This was the first time they cried. And Eisenhower was visibly moved as well. And he said, "Holy Rabbi, what can I do for you?" It was Yom Kippur. He said, "General, in 4 days will be Sukkot. Please get us Arba Minyan." And he was so impressed and so blown away by all the requests he could ask. And that day he ordered a plane to fly to Italy to bring Arba Minyan back to the camp. What's the message of the story? One message I heard once from Rav Chaim Wachsman is as follows. Imagine the anticipation and the responsibility that sat on the shoulders of the Kloisenberg Rebbe and the sense of all the people there feeling we need someone who is going to give the one message that the general needs to hear and the people in the DP camp need to hear. And that was all on his shoulders. And he was the only one who could do that. What an amazing, amazing responsibility is entrusted in our hands at every Seder night. To be the ones, not just to speak to a crowd of a few thousand people, not just to speak to one general, but to speak to all generations. When we communicate with our children, our grandchildren, l'chol hadoros, what we convey through our actions and words at the Seder is literally eternity. And all that is on our shoulders. Unbelievable. Unbelievable to walk into the Seder feeling that you're the Rebbe, not just one Rebbe. You are the Rebbe for all time. All of your descendants are going to remember and are going to carry with you the message that he gave them in a small bite, small point in history, but also even that moment was something which was necessary to carry forth forever. And we're entrusted with that responsibility. So when I see 64 mitzvos, it makes you think, you know, the only way to hope to get it right is if literally every step, every move we make, every time we lift up a glass is another mitzvah. So that we reflect on the fact that the entire script of the evening is so consequential and so monumental that if it wasn't that every action carried so much significance, we would unfortunately lose out or miss out on an unbelievable opportunity. Rabbi Penner often points out that big moments, even Avelis, right? Avelis, there's so many details, Kfura, the funeral, and throughout the Shiva, do this, and sometimes we're even told, speak, don't speak. What it is clearly a statement that we're at such a pivotal, crucial moment that if we didn't have a script, then the moment would pass us by. I think the Seder night, the reason why we have Agada, the reason we have everything mapped out, cover the matzah, uncover the matzah, pick up the wine, put down the... Why does it have to be pointed out to us every single detail? Because the stakes are so high, the mission is so great, and the responsibility on our shoulders is so monumental that, yeah, we have to have a thoughtfulness and appreciate the gravity of every single moment. And when we think 64 mitzvos over the course of a span of a few hours, then you walk into the Seder with a whole different attitude, that you had that responsibility on your shoulders to act out the whole door of a door, the message that will be left with our families, with our children, our grandchildren, all in void, to carry Klal Yisrael through whatever we face, and especially at a time like this when we know we're in the middle of history, we're in the middle of history in the making, to appreciate all the more so how much our attitude and our response and our conveying the amuna is such a critical mitzvah at this time. Mm-hmm.